Russ and I were just reaching the age 30 milestone when we moved to Duluth in 1981. We'd have loved to live in the North Woods, but we decided against it because it would involve driving for Russ to get to work and for us to get to town for doctor appointments, Audubon meetings, shopping, and other errands. Country living also adds a huge expenditure of fossil fuels squandered on mail delivery and on plowing and maintaining those country roads, at least on a people per mile basis. So we picked an old house right in town, easy walking distance to school, the post office, and grocery store, and just a mile from where Russ worked. He walked or biked just about every day. But now if we went shopping together, we had to take the car because we couldn't leave the baby home alone. We'd bought cloth diapers while I was pregnant. The hospital sent us home with a supply of disposables. When we ran out, we started using the cloth diapers, but by the third day, Joey developed a raw red diaper rash. I'm sure there were ways we could have found to prevent rashing with cloth diapers, but we weren't about to experiment on our newborn baby and went back to disposables. That made us increasingly conscious about all our paper use and made us do our best to conserve paper in other ways, but still, switching to disposable diapers was our first major compromise with our environmental principles. Those little compromises have a huge cumulative effect, but when our personal needs or desires are environmentally costly, we can offset at least some of the bad effects by sacrificing in other areas. That's the reason I wrote my book, 101 Ways to Help Birds. Researching it brought home to me the huge ways that birds and other natural resources are impacted by our personal actions, transportation choices, and the products we buy. All the problems we face today, fires, flooding, storms, and rising and warming seas, and so many other issues affecting birds, insects, and other wildlife as well as us, have been exacerbated by us falling asleep as tiny tendrils of materialism, finances, other social pressures, and job responsibilities entangle and tug at us. On top of those, getting and keeping a job makes most adults learn to keep their heads down and not make waves, going along to get along, at least to some extent. Health care and a regular paycheck are urgent needs, so virtually all young adults eventually find themselves making the same kinds of compromises previous generations did, many of them working for the very same soul-sucking companies that have done so much damage already. Invasion of the Body Snatchers ended badly for humanity. We can take comfort that it's fiction, but with so many insidious tendrils reaching out and ensnaring us in the world as it is, it's hard to imagine how things can get better. What we're facing now is a case of malignant complacency and complicity that has metastasized throughout our society and our world. Dan Rather said cynicism pollutes objectivity. Cynicism also protects us from disillusionment, because how can you be disillusioned when you have no illusions? But cynicism also robs us of hope, and we can't attack any problem without hope. That hope must be supported by the courage and will to take action and the willingness and sacrifices to work with others. We're none of us perfect, but we can all do more than we're doing right now to cast light on and cut through those intertwining tendrils that grab us while we're not paying attention. It's time to wake up and remember a line from another movie, one based on reality, about ordinary good people fighting and beating a huge and overpowering web of corruption. In The Untouchables, Sean Connery's character asks something we must all demand of ourselves right now. What are you prepared to do? I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.